Okay, today we're going to look at Acts 27. The title of the message is pretty obvious. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Or we could say it this way, be of good courage. Take heart. Take heart. Lift up your voice. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Now, he says that in verse 24 and 25. Saying, fear not, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Be of good cheer, because I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told to me by the messenger of God. Be of good cheer. The only reason we have as believers to be of good cheer, of good courage, or cheerfulness is resting in the exceeding great and precious promises of God. His word cannot fail. His word will not fail because he cannot fail. He's given us exceeding great and precious promises in his word. Not one word he has spoken will fail. Our Lord said, I've spoken it, I've purposed it, I'll do it, I'll bring it to pass. Because our God and Savior cannot fail, his word cannot fail. Whatever God has told his people of or promised unto them shall be performed, shall be done, shall be accomplished. There are no failed promises with God. Now we may make a promise, and due to circumstances, we may not be able to fulfill that promise. God doesn't act that way. He said, I've spoken it, I've purposed it, I will do it. He commands and it stands fast. All the promises of God in the Lord Jesus Christ are certain, sure, yes, and amen. Failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. In verse 25, it says, it shall be even as it was told me. Now, who told him? Who told him that we're going to lose a ship, but not one soul will perish? God told him that. Wherefore, sirs, I believe it shall be even as it was told me. The last part of verse 25. We studied last week, and I read this scripture to you, and I'll repeat it. In Romans 4, he staggered not at the promise of God, considering Abraham through unbelief that was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Saving faith is fully persuaded that God is able to do all he said. Able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. His purpose and his grace that God purposed from eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be done, because he cannot fail. Now, let's get back to the story here for a moment. When it was determined, verse 1, when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, the centurion of the Augustus band. It was determined by who? Who determined it? I'm sure that Agrippa and Festa thought they determined it, but they only did what God purposed before to be done. God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The Lord our God purposed and determined for Paul to take this journey to Rome and there to preach the gospel for 2 years. When his ministry was over, the Lord took him home to glory. Turn over here to Acts 28 in the next chapter over and read the last two verses. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Even though in prison, even though he sits on death row waiting to be executed, he's still preaching, preaching, preaching the gospel. He writes from the prison cell these words, for me to live is Christ. To die, he said, it's gain. And then again he writes from his prison cell in Rome, "For I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. The time of my departure, I've finished my course. I've run the race. I've kept the faith." Man's days, someone said, are immortal here until their work is done. When their work is done, they're done. God is pleased to take his people home. When Paul and Luke and Aristarchus and the other prisoners, the soldiers and the sailors, a total of 276, were making this journey from Caesarea to Rome, the Lord was pleased to send this great wind called Euroclydon. It was a typhoon, we would say, in that area. They call them typhoons. We would call them hurricanes. 70, 80, 90, 100 mile an hour winds, which sank the ship, and all aboard the ship were able to make it safely to land. Just as God said, so it came to pass. We all made it safe to land. Just as the Lord promised Paul that none would lose their lives, so it came to pass. Isn't it encouraging to know everything God speaks, every promise he's given will come to pass? If Paul could boldly speak these words of comfort to these men, 273 of these men were pagans. They didn't know God. They didn't believe the gospel. If Paul could boldly speak these words of comfort to these men upon the ship, who were for the most part not believers, how much more can we read and hear these words as believers and take great comfort in the words and promises of the Lord to you? This is God's word to you. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. When the storms of life are raging, when the sun does not shine for days, and the stars are not seen at night, when all looks bleak, black, and barren, when all hope seems to be gone, what? Be of good cheer, for I believe God. Now, this was not the first time that Paul heard these words. Turn back a few pages. Remember in Acts 23, when he stood before that council, the first time, that Sanhedrin council, and Ananias the high priest, and all those different men. Verse 10 says, "And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle." They were ready to tear him in pieces. "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said," verse 11, Acts 23, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem," now get this, "so must thou bear witness of me in Rome." He must go to Rome because God had determined it to be so. So Paul has heard these words before, and this was not the only time the Lord spoke these words of great comfort. We read over in Matthew 14, turn to Matthew chapter 9 and look at this reference here. In Matthew chapter 9, there was a paralyzed man who had some dear friends. And the Lord Jesus Christ was in this certain house and they couldn't get in. So they took off part of the roof and lowered this man on a bed down before the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, "And behold, they brought him to a sick man of palsy lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven." The same one speaks good cheer to one who needed forgiveness of sin. "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven, thee or to arise and walk, but that they may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, saith he to the sick of the palsy, rise and take up your bed and go to your house. It's easy to say, well, your sins are forgiven. But to say to this lame man, paralyzed man, you get up, take up your bed and walk. Thy sins have been forgiven. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And remember this reference. Turn to John 16. We read in Matthew 14 as the disciples were on that ship in the midst of a storm, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes walking upon the water, and they were afraid. And the Lord said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. And then the Lord says to them in John 16, turn there, John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, trouble, tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? I've overcome. I've overcome the world. So it's a repeated message the Lord would have us to know, to have us to hear, to have us to believe, to have us to have comfort in our heart. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. No matter what the day may hold, we know who holds the day. We know who holds the day. No matter what our circumstances may be, we have every reason to trust our Lord, for He knows what is best. Used to be an old black and white TV show years ago. Some of you older ones will remember. They had that TV show called Father Knows Best. Remember? Our Father knows best for us. He knows what's best for us. What He brings our way is for our good. That is why trials in the believer's life are called precious. That's why He calls our trials light afflictions that don't work against us, that work for us in exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's why we can read with the Apostle Paul, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let me encourage you who believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to take comfort in His word and in His presence, to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. No matter what the day may hold, no matter what the day may hold, we know who holds the day. We read in Scripture, our times are in His hand. Psalm 31, I hope to bring the message from Psalm 31 Wednesday evening. It says this, but I trust in the Lord, I trust in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God, my times are in Thy hand. Your life is in His hand. That's why the Lord said, into Thy hand I commit my spirit. Be of good courage. Psalm 31:24 says, be of good courage, be of good cheer, and He shall strengthen thy heart. All ye that hope in the Lord, be of good cheer. No matter how bleak the outcome may seem, no matter how severe the pain may be, no matter how hopeless the situation appears to be of good cheer. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Now, we've been through some... 2020 was quite a year, wasn't it? Over 500,000 people died of COVID, they say. The Lord kills and the Lord makes alive. Everyone who died, died at the appointed time. God appointed that day. The number of His months is what the Lord appointed unto men wants to die, and after that judgment, whether it's COVID or something else. The Lord kills. The Lord makes alive. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ in that eternal covenant of mercy, if you purchase with His blood that redeemed us from all sin, if you're called by the effectual grace of God to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have every reason to be of good cheer. Our sovereign Lord controls all things in our lives and is in charge over all aspects in all things. We read this verse and quote it quite often, Romans 11:36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory both now and forever. Forever. He will give us grace in the time of trial. That's his promise to his children. He said, my grace is sufficient. God gives real grace for real trials when we need it. Real hope for real grief. Real mercy for real misery. Real grace for real guilt before God. Now, let me give you five things from this verse found in Acts 27. Let's begin at verse 22. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, verse 23, whose I am, at point number one, whom I serve, point number two, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, point number three, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God. So, Paul was aware, verse 23, there stood by me this night the angel of God. Paul was aware, well aware, of the presence of God with him. The presence of God with him. The angel of the Lord was sent to minister to him. Now, we don't worship angels, but they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation. We do believe in guardian angels that watches over his people. I've never seen an angel, not that I'm aware of, but I know his angels have protected me on numerous occasions when my life could have easily been taken. And somehow it wasn't. It was by God's appointed grace. In all our lives, the Lord has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He said, lo, I'm with you always. Even before we knew him in saving mercy, he knew us and was watching over us and bringing us by his good and sovereign providence to the place where we heard the gospel and was given faith to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. His word assures us of this truth. His presence to protect us. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 41:10. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not. Be of good cheer, for I am with thee. I am with thee. His word assures us of his presence to protect us, his grace to provide for us. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. The Lord assures us in his word, he has all power to save us, able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. He has all power to keep us. We're kept by the power of God through faith. His word says that. Here's the second point. Paul was aware of the true fact that he belonged to the Lord. Whose I am. I like that. Whose I am. The Lord chose this sinner, Saul of Tarsus, and all the elect of God are chosen by God's sovereign purpose in that eternal covenant of grace. The Lord carefully watches over his property. You carefully watch over your property, don't you? Your dear children, grandchildren. Don't you watch over your children, grandchildren? Carefully? Why do you do that? They're yours. You love them. The Lord carefully watches over his property. We are his by divine choice. We're his by divine choice. He chose us. and that eternal covenant of grace. We're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had chosen you unto salvation from the beginning. We're His by divine choice. He said, you didn't choose me, I've chosen you and ordained you to bring forth fruit unto life. We are His by divine purchase. Remember, we're bought with the blood of Christ. We are redeemed with His precious blood. He says, you're no more your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. We're His by divine purpose, by sovereign grace, given us in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Thank God He chose me before I was born, because He never would have chosen me afterward. It's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace, given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Thirdly is this. Third point is this. Paul was also blessed to understand that he was a servant of the Lord. Notice he says, whose I am, I'm His property, and whom I serve. I know whom I have believed. What you believe is determined by whom you believe. I know whom I serve. We serve the living and true God, don't we? What a blessing every believer has to be chosen of the Lord to serve Him. Whom I serve. Paul called himself many times, more times than he called himself the apostle. He called himself what? The servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord. That's a high title. It's a high title. Even the Lord Jesus Christ is called in Isaiah 42, behold my servant, my servant. It's a high title. You think of the true and living God who has chosen you to serve Him? Wow. What a privilege God has given His people to serve the Lord. It is a privilege. It's a high title. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the servant of the Lord, came to redeem us with His own blood. And we willingly, lovingly, by His grace, desire to serve Him. Here's the fourth point. He says, fear not. Verse 24. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Fear not. Fear not. Only our sovereign Lord, our God, can speak with language of absolute certainties. He spake and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. God said, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. God has given all those that sail with thee, all their sheep of Christ, sinners chosen by God in that eternal covenant of grace, and given to the Lord Jesus Christ, they all shall be saved. Fear not. Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not. Turn to Isaiah 43. We had this on the radio this morning. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by your name, you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Isaiah 43, verse 3, for I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thee, for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee, therefore I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, verse 5, for I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. The last point, verse 25, Paul was blessed of God to believe the word of truth. He was convinced that God was faithful to his promise. What says there, that it shall be, I believe God. That's a miracle, to believe God. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. Believing the gospel is a miracle of grace. Remember Acts 13:48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed the gospel. We only believe by the working of his mighty power. The faith of God's elect, true faith, lays hold of the unchanging character of God, his unfailing word of truth. I am the Lord, I change not. Saving faith believes God at his word and takes him at his word. I give an example of that. One night the disciples, most of them were fishermen, James and John, Peter and Andrew, were fishermen. They were out fishing one night and they'd caught nothing. Now these were men who were professionals. They caught nothing. And the Lord came to them and said, cast the net on the other side. And they said, Lord, we've been here fishing all night and we've caught nothing. Now you say, cast the net on this side. You know what it says? Nevertheless, according to your word, we'll do what you say. The word of God and every gospel promise of God shall be fulfilled in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. So all the way back to Genesis 3:15, the first gospel promise of the woman's seed that will crush the serpent's head and his humanity will be bruised. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and then in Isaiah 53 where it said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And then upon Calvary's tree we studied in Acts 2 verse 23 him being delivered by the determinate counsel of God. You have with wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. God promised and it came to pass. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The Savior was, and Messiah was promised, and in the fullness of time, he came, right? The Redeemer was promised to save his people from their sin. The messenger from heaven said to Joseph of Mary, call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. Promise given. And at Calvary, he said, it's finished. When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Lord Jesus Christ said that all those given to him in the covenant of grace shall be saved. He said, I will not lose one. Not one sheep can perish. And it's fulfilled now in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. For when he rose from the dead, after 40 days he was exalted to the throne of God, seated in the heavenlies as the forerunner, as the surety of the covenant, seated in the heavenlies, and we're seated in him right now. Preacher, you sure? I'm sure. That's what the word of God says. I believe it shall be even as he said. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I'll raise everyone up at the last day. I will not lose one sheep of Christ. And so it came to pass. You remember the promise was, God said to Paul, no loss of any man's life but the ship. And then he says over here, in another place, there shall not a hair fall from your head of any of you. That's pretty bold. Sirs, I believe God. Be of good cheer. And so it came to pass, verse 44, that they escaped all safe to land. You see, God promised all were delivered safe to land. And that's true of God's covenant blessings in Christ. Everyone for whom the Lord Jesus Christ stood as surety and Savior and sacrifice, He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. He is our salvation. Therefore, we have every reason as sons of God, don't we? To be of good cheer. To be of good cheer. I believe God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Friend, be of good cheer. God is God. He cannot fail. He's absolute, successful God, our Savior, who cannot fail.